For the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, we're not bound by sin, we have been set free. Thank God for the promise. Life, redemption, hope of Jesus Christ returning may come in my lifetime and may come in yours. Certainly believe he will. Don't know how long we're going to live, but I certainly believe he's soon coming. Again, it's so good to have the visitors with us this morning. We appreciate you being here. We don't take it lightly that you're here with us. Obviously, you trusted that you will hear the Word of God and that you will be able to worship and adore the Lord our God. And that's what the intent of our hearts is. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, some words from Jesus. You know, if you watch TV much, you hear a lot. Don't have time to describe what you might hear, but you have to sort everything. You know, is this news media, that news media? It's much the same way with we people, isn't it? Some of us try to tell the truth as best we know it, but we don't know all truth. And sometimes we suppose certain things and we say, well, this is what I believe. Have you ever heard people say in a Sunday school class or whatever, a teacher's teaching, this is what God says, and they might raise their hand and say something like this, well, I don't know what the Bible says, but this is what I believe. Who wants to hear it? Amen. Because what we believe is so varying upon circumstances, upon a lot of things, the wisdom we have. But when Jesus speaks in this word, through his word, we need to give top attention. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45, listen to these words from our Lord Jesus Christ. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Aren't you thankful the Lord just told it like it is? You couldn't get confused on truth that Jesus spoke. It's so clear. Talk about something we know something about. Corrupt trees, as we know them, bringing forth good fruit, won't happen. He's going to get somewhere with it because he's looking at your heart and mine too as he speaks. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Just simple message this morning. Let's talk about having a heart for God. Having a heart for God. Now, if you go through life, you're going to learn a lot of things. And as a child growing up in your parents' home, you probably realize at an early age that if I'm obedient to my father and mother best I can, you know, things go a lot better around the house. And then if you're employed in a job, you won't make a career out of it somewhere down the line. Maybe not that job, but the next one. And if you do want to try to make a career out of that place where you're working, you would like to make a good impression on the supervisor or the owner of the business. And rightfully so, because, you know, you start here maybe and another job higher and higher. But think about it this way. We do all that rightfully so. How much more important is it if we please our Heavenly Father? Because he gives life, he sustains life, he is our life, and surely in our heart we want to please God. From the time I got saved as a 12-year-old boy, now I don't know my heart because he said I don't, but I try to understand my heart best I can, and I think for the most part I have, you know, I'm not perfect or far from it, but tried to have a heart for God. And along the way, I should have asked, and I asked the Lord, and I'm like David, create in me a clean heart. Because when I was born in sin, even though I had a wonderful mother and father that loved God, I was born with a evil heart. All of us were, because we were after our father and mother, Adam and Eve, and they sinned, transgressed. So we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's what he said. And we go along with that. And every time I read or think of the word a thorn tree or a bramble bush, I think about something that happened to me on the farm. I guess about the slowest couple of seconds in my life. We all go back with our thoughts of yesteryear, and we think about some dangers we were in. We think about some triumphs we were in. And I remember these couple of seconds seemed like eternity to me, because I was a 21-year-old young man married to Sandra. And on the weekends, every Saturday, we'd either go to her parents at Spring Creek on the farm or my parents, and sometimes both. And my father-in-law, his wife, my wife's mother, cooked with a wood stove. You talk about biscuits from a wood stove. Wow. I can taste them now. And the wood that she used was chestnut for the most part. And my father-in-law had a lot of barns. One of the barns, the roof had blown off. And he would go up there. He was about 64 years old at the time. And he would take his chainsaw. And now a log barn, one log laying on the other, no nails anywhere. And it's about 15 foot tall. Roof had blown off. And at 64 years old, he probably didn't think he ought to climb at the top and tear it down. So he was going at the bottom and he was notching out, you know. And I said, Troy, I said, do you realize what these chestnut logs are worth? People pay a lot of money for wormy chestnut logs. He said, they may be, but I enjoy the biscuits right well. I think I'll just keep sawing it up for biscuits. Nothing like a good chestnut wood fire. And so I said, I'll help you one Saturday. So one of these days you're going to notch out one too many, the whole thing's going to clamp. So I'll start at the top. Thought I knew everything about everything, 21-year-old boy or so. And I got on top, and I was starting to roll one off. And as it rolled off, I realized that one I was holding to had no security. And it rolled off too. And there I went on my back. And I could see down on the ground a brambly thorn bush. I could do nothing about it. I was in midair. And fortunately, somehow the Lord directed my bark. And I landed on my back all right, but about that far from that thorn tree. And I've never had any use for thorn trees before or after that. So I read the words that Jesus said in verse 44. For every tree is known by its own fruit. I could just see those thorns and those bramly bushes going up my back in that 1 or 2 seconds I was falling. It seemed like eternity, and I still look back, and it's almost like it happened yesterday. But then I read these words. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Then he describes something I want to talk about this morning. A good man. Now, none of us are good. But God's righteousness, he imputes to us, he gives us of his, he clothes us with his righteousness. And even though our hearts aren't good, him in us, the hope of glory, we can bring him honor and glory if we allow him to create within us a clean heart. I want to look at that thought this morning and explore it. And we looked last Sunday morning at David, a young man. The Bible says he's just a ruddy little guy, or reddish, just a small guy, no doubt. And we saw how God prospered him. But I want to go back to that thought. And that God prospered him so much as a young man, he could stand face to face. Of course, he was looking up as he was face to face at that giant. But some other things that's of utmost importance. And I want to read some scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13. The Lord looks ahead. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We heard this morning about him hiding us in the cleft of the rock. Our life, not just our heart, that is us, our heart, our soul. We're hid in Christ our God. And he saw us long before we were born. and he directed our steps. And along the journey of life, there's so much takes place. And Saul now has been crowned the king of Israel. The people wanted a king, so God will give you the desires of your heart. If you want something bad enough and keep asking him for it, even though it's not the right thing, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. You may be sorry that you asked for such a thing. So was the children of Israel. They asked for a king. God chose them a king, head taller than anyone else. But now this king was corrupt. He didn't follow the ways of God. And God measures success by obedience and by listening to him. And Samuel, 1 Samuel 13:13, Samuel, who is a prophet now, who was called by God, said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. God chose him. He had established him to this point. And if he had kept following him and had a clean heart, if he had asked for a clean heart, and he had asked for direction from God, but he wasn't like that. And the Bible says in verse 45 of Luke chapter 6, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But Saul's heart was not perfect, nor did he strive and desire that it would be. Then the Bible says, and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So you ask the question, why would Saul be disobedient to God? Seems to me like Jesus answered the question, just a heart problem is all it was. And the ways of the world, contrary to the ways of God, but we're not speaking to the world this morning. We're speaking to those that's listening by web internet, that will watch or listen by DVD or CD later, and we're preaching to you. This is God's word to you, to me, to help us understand that God looks at the heart. And we've been very descriptive this morning in the word of God about the heart and how desperately and how wicked it is. But now, verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 13, God's looking at the heart, and he realizes that Saul does not have a clean heart. He does not desire a clean heart. He just constantly wanting his way. And this will help you this morning, because every one of us are sometimes like these. We want our own way. You may not say it verbally, but I wonder how many times we think, I don't really care what anybody wants. This is what I won't. Well, it may remind us, if we're like that, that our ways are not God's ways, and more than likely our ways are contrary most of the time to the things of God. So we must allow him to create within us a heart that yearns for him and longs for him. And God's looking for such a person today. Listen to what he said in the 14th verse, 1 Samuel chapter 13. But now, thy kingdom shall not continue. Talking about Saul, who had a heart that was not longing for God, had no desires to long for God. He was going his way, self-glory. He wanted prestige. He wanted honor for himself. Don't care what God says. This is what I think is best. Shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. God is looking this morning for a heart that after his heart. Now, it's impossible for us to have that kind of heart unless he creates it within us, because we weren't born like that. Okay, so we're born again, but there again, we're still in the flesh. And I was telling a while ago about a 21-year-old young man that I was, that thought I knew everything. And even though I was asking for a clean heart, I should have asked for something else. Sound wisdom. You see, sometimes we have a heart and the wisdom that we have. James says that if we ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to us and upbraid not. Let that man ask of God. And if we have sound wisdom, that comes from God. And I'm pretty sure this happens in my life, and probably you judge yourself and find out the same answer, that the older we get, if you learn from the mistakes you make, and if you learn from others' mistakes, and you look at those that's walking with God and see how God prospers them, then it would behoove every one of us to say, hey, I want to have sound wisdom. And we learn by past mistakes. We learn by study. We learn by revelation. And most of all, we learn by asking God for sound wisdom. He told us, ask Him for wisdom. And sometimes you can have a heart, but you're still in the flesh making mistakes. At the same time now, He's looking for a man after His own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over His people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. God is looking, and He's found one. He found David, of course, out there on the backside. Now, I want to look briefly at David now as he's a young boy. And then what did God see in this young man? Well, God saw in him a clean heart, a heart that was yearning for Him, a heart that would yearn for Him. God looks. It wasn't an evil heart. It was something that, even though he made mistakes, yes, he's human, but God forgives those mistakes. Let's look at, first of all, the opportunities for service. The opportunities for service. If you and myself desire to have a heart for God, He will open up doors of opportunities. Now, when He opens up a door of opportunity, we have a choice to make. He does not, most of the time, compel us. There's an open door. We have sound wisdom. He gave it to us if we asked for it. And if the desires of your heart is to please God and let Him along the pathway of life, as you're walking, as you're meeting people, if you're looking for a way to serve God, He doesn't always. Now, He opens the door. That's His responsibility. But He doesn't usually push you through it. He reveals to you. Let's look at David as he was telling King Saul out there now. King Saul has tried to give him all the armor he has. And he says, no, I don't need anything the world provides. I've been serving God. And he remembers the time when he was a little ruddy boy and the youngest, the eighth son, eighth new beginning. And as he was serving his father Jesse, that was a command that his father gave him. He was obedient to that command. But there again, God can give you a command, or on the job you can be commanded, or even if your spouse, somebody tells you what to do, you can do it half-heartedly, or you can do it with all your heart. Now, a half-hearted person out there taking care of his father, sheep, Jesse, when the bear came to take the lamb, he could have said, and God didn't command him to do otherwise, he could have said, well, that's a big old bear, and I'm just a ruddy little boy. What's one little sheep? I'll just let him devour it and spare my own life. God did not force him. In fact, we don't see anywhere in the Word of God where God even asked him to go out and slay that bear. There was a window of opportunity, and David now is just out there doing his job, but his job could have been well done, you might say, if he had just stood back and said, I won't risk my life for that little sheep. But Christ Jesus gives us opportunity to have a heart like His, and He laid down His life for we sheep, did He not? So now God says, I'm looking for a man after my own heart. And He said that before David even had slain the bear. And then again, when the lion came. Now, a lion, anybody ever seen a lion? I haven't. I saw a mountain lion one time. But I'm talking about these lions in Israel sometimes get bigger than our cougars around here even. And the cougar or the lion came in to get the sheep. And David was not commanded by his father. His father never would have said, now son, if a big lion or a big bear comes to get the sheep, I don't want you to risk your life. A good father probably would have said that. But see, because he was a keeper of the sheep, an opportunity, an open door. And God does that for you and me. We go through life and we see someone that has a need for prayer. Oftentimes, if I'm visiting the hospital, you know, so busy, you're looking at your watch, you're looking at your computer, and you say, you know, I got to be here, I got to hurry, and I hope you got the schedule already made out. And then you see someone in the hall crying. You don't know them. You see two or three of the family members, no doubt, gathering up, and they're weeping, they're sobbing, and their pastor is probably nowhere around. If they even have a pastor, I don't know. If I really have a heart, I'll take the time, and I have taken the time, and I have not taken the time. But see, God's watching all that. The opportunity is it presents itself that there's someone in need, and I can, he doesn't command me to. He never usually says, go over there and do that. It's just, do I have a heart after him? Would he have taken steps out of his way? He often did. Remember, he went through Samaria. He knew there'd be a woman there that needed a Savior. And he gives you that opportunities like that. And David now had slain the bear. He had slain a lion. And now when he is asked by his father to go out and give some bread and cheese to his brethren that's out fighting a battle, although they wasn't fighting 40 days, they were just standing there observing, backing up on the giant. And I probably would have too. You probably would have too. David goes out and he sees the display. He hears the giant defying not only the army of God, but the God of the army. He wasn't commanded to. See, this is another opportunity that God opens to him. How many times God opens a window of opportunity for you and I? He didn't have to go slay the giant. He was not commanded to. In fact, Saul tried to discourage him. The brothers really tried to discourage him. And the Lord gave him opportunity. And he took advantage of the opportunity. That's what I'm trying to say. God opens windows of opportunities for us of service. And if we really desire to have the heart of God, we will go through that open door of opportunity by faith usually. Oh, what kind of faith did David have that he, with the help of God, could slay a giant? Well, he had some stepping stones. He had slain the bear and he had slain the lion. And he had protected the sheep. But now God sees all that in him and he sees it all in you. Not only an opportunity for service offered so many times he does, but let's look at the options for greater service. Along the way now, he's had those opportunities of the bear and the lion and being obedient to his father Jesse and doing the will of God. God didn't ask him to do any of those things, remember? But since he had a heart for God. Sometimes God will ask you to do something. You have no choice then but to do it or you're really in trouble. But I'm talking about the other opportunities that God provides for us. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman that has a heart for him. And he's testing us all along the journey. And now the opportunities have been taken advantage of by David. And now there will be an option for greater service to be obtained. Say, prove that, Will. Next thing you know, David is promoted to the place on the throne. Saul is replaced. Why was Saul replaced? We read it very carefully. Samuel, the prophet, said, God is looking for a man who has a heart after me, and he found him. So God's going to elevate him. The option was there. You think God would have given that if he had backed up and not taken advantage of the opportunities he had? Do we really think God's going to offer us more opportunities when many of us may have not taken even halfway advantage of the opportunities we've already had? And we're looking at options for greater service? It's almost laughable if you really know the heart of God, that God would use us for greater service and the option would be open for greater service if we have only been half-heartedly serving him. It's not going to happen. But look at the text. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. David now has obtained a greater service. That option has been opened. It has been granted. Why? Because he took advantage of the opportunities that God gave him. God didn't require it of him. He didn't ask it of him. But God opened the door, and he saw the need. We heard a message Wednesday night. Compassion. Brother Jason preached a wonderful message on having compassion. That's all it was. When David went out, he had compassion on the lambs, on the sheep. David had compassion on the work of God when he was willing to slay the giant, to get the giant out of the way so his people would not be suffering reproach any longer. He took advantage of the opportunities and open doors. Henceforth, and because of that, the option of greater service was obtained. Let's look at Psalm chapter 18 and look about four things about this. Now he's obtained the greater service. The option has been granted. because he has had a heart for God thus far. Now he's looking at Psalms 18 and verse 13 as he is writing this psalm. First of all, he is protected from terror. You see, there's a lot goes in with this clean heart. Not only is it an opportunity for greater service, not only is it helping people, it saved the lamb, and it got rid of the giant. And God would use us to get rid of some giants and slay some giants in our life too, if we would have, and we will still take advantage of the opportunities he opens. So look how he protects him from terror. This goes along with a clean heart. Psalms 18:13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. David, you're a strong young man. You slew a bear, not with the help of God, not without the help of God. You slew the lion, not without the help of God. Well, how did you slay the giant? I just took advantage of the open door that God gave me, and God directed the stone. See, I did my little part. But the enemy has been against me, and they're too strong for me. He didn't have to worry about the enemy. He had a heart for God. And he is talking about now the great God of creation that spoke it all in existence, that opened the floodgates of heaven and flooded the earth. And by his breath, if God can do all that, then surely he can take care of me. As I go through the open doors of opportunity that I don't know what's beyond, only by faith. But I do know he opened the door. And I do know that if I take advantage of it, he'll be there with me. And not only in those situations, but the option for greater service will be offered and obtained. God's remember the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He directs your path. We heard his song this morning. He hides us in the cliffs of the rock. So we see how he has protected him from terror. Well, not only that, but some other things he does for us, so many things. He prevents us. Look at the next verse. As I was starting reading this, I said, what's he talking about? They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. The word in the Hebrew prevented means to meet. He met me in each case of my circumstances. And not only it means to meet me, he comforted me. It means to, he prevented me. He met me as I was going through open doors of opportunities. He was there with me. He met me. He prevented me, the scripture says, and he gave me comfort as he was taking care of me. Look at the next verse, verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. See, because he was obedient and took advantage of the open doors already, he has now given him other opportunities, open doors, large places. You went from being a little shepherd boy taking care of your father Jesse's sheep to the king of Israel. Wasn't a problem for God. He created the world. How come he chose you, David? We're told by the prophet. Because he had a heart after God's heart. And God will open doors of opportunity for us. We go through them by faith, and then he will enlarge. Look what the scripture says. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. David knew that as a boy that was not strong, he had previously said that he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. We need to admit to God and to ourselves that we're not giants and we can't do the things and we can't tear down the barns. And think through it that God has given us reason. He has given us wisdom, and we need to use that wisdom as we're serving him. And the enemy's out there. Oh, you don't have any time to talk about it or think about it. They're too strong for us. shouldn't worry us, because he delivered us. The scripture says, he brought me forth also into a large place. He established my going. He brought me into this king of Israel. The enemies were all around. All the Philistines and the other countries were against him. But he delivered him. He delivered me. Why would he deliver you, David? Because he delighted in me. How come God would delight in you, David? Because he looked at my heart and determined that with the desires of my heart, I wanted to be more like him. So he prevented me. He comforted me. He drew near to me. He protected me. But not only that, he proportionally repays us and pays us. He pays us for serving him. Let's look at verse 20. The Lord rewarded me. The word in the Hebrew means to pay in proportion. God rewards you how? In proportion to how we serve him. Because he looks at our needs, and when we admit to him, the enemy's too strong for me, I can't go. There's an open door, but I can't do it. You don't have to. I'll go with you. There's never been a battle but what the Lord could win. And all he wants is someone desiring a heart after his heart. And we prove to him that by taking advantage of the open doors, by looking at the options. And then as we go through those, he'll give us greater options and give us a larger ability to serve him. So he says, the Lord rewarded me. How did he reward? According to my righteousness. In proportion. Because God does things like that. We serve a righteous God that says we'll do anything. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you that you won't be able to receive. It's not that he doesn't have the blessings, but he cannot nor will he reward us or give us those beyond the way we serve him, the way we have a heart for him. He proportions, he rations, if you will, and he's a wonderful God for doing that. And all we have to do is desire, as David did, to have a clean heart. He rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, as he recompensed me. Remember the time when David desired in his heart to build a house for God? As he was fighting the enemy, he would take the reward. He would take the gold, the silver from those enemies, not to himself. He would take it and store it up for the house of God. You see, not only did David want to serve God, and sure, he was rich and materially gained, but he was keeping all those gold and silver vessels and everything and storing them for the building of God's house. He put God first in his life. And so he was telling the prophet, I want to build a house for God. And the prophet says, do everything that's in your heart. And the prophet must have said some things from his heart, because he knew David, and knew God would be pleased, he thought. Sometimes we say things without checking out. Have you ever heard somebody say, God told me to do this? Well, if he did, do it with all your heart. But if he didn't, you shouldn't be saying that he told me that. That's a dangerous proposition. So as the prophet was walking away, God stopped him and said, go back and tell David. You may have said that on your own. I appreciate David serving me. I appreciate the fact that he had a clean heart, and I enlarged him, and I protected him, and I prospered him, and I prevented him. I met with him, and I comforted him. But he's been a warrior and killed a lot of people. He's done some wrong. And I cannot, nor will I, reward him. My reward has to be proportional according to his righteousness. And I'll give David the pattern, and I'll tell him how it ought to be built. And he can use all this material he's got, but his son that I'm going to put on the throne. Remember, God's the one that puts people on in their positions. Not me, not you. God puts people in the position he wants them to be in. And David was a man after God's own heart, but he could not reward him. God would not reward him more than proportionally according to his clean hand. The text says, according to the cleanliness of my hands has he recompensed me. The word recompense is refreshed, restored, compensated. He has given me these things, and he has protected me, and he has guarded me, and he has given me all these opportunities to serve him. But he also has looked at my hands, and he said, my hands have been bloody hands. And God says, I've got a standard, and I won't go against my standard. Even though your heart's pure and you want to do all these things, I also judge your hands, and your hands is not always being about my business. And I'll let you accumulate it, and all, but Solomon is going to be the one that built it. God's so true and so accurate, and he will not go against his word. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He won't exceed it. He won't excel above it in proportion to. According to the cleanliness of my hands has he recompensed me. Compensated. He compensates. And God will give us that we desire and refresh and restore us according to our righteousness. Verse 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. My heart was given to God at a young age. I desired to have a clean heart. Yeah, along the way I got dirty hands, and God withheld some things from me because he can't use unclean hands. I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I tried within my heart to serve my God. And David saw that opportunity. He took advantage of the opportunity, and God gave him some options. You want to serve me? How much you want to serve me? That's the way I'm going to reward you, according to the desires of your heart. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed, refreshed, restored me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyesight. And see, verse 20 says, according to righteousness of my hands hath he recompensed me. And we try to judge yourself. We say, well, from my heart I've done this, and I've gone through open doors, and I've tried. But the last verse we just read, the last part of it, look very carefully. According to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. He's the one judging. We look at one another. They've done this. They've done that. See, we don't know all the details. We don't know about their unclean hands. We don't even know our own heart much, less than anybody else. So David admits he has restored me, refreshed me, compensated me, and given me all these things according to his eyesight. Lastly, we've seen the opportunities God presents to us along the way. He gives us opportunities of service. He offers those opportunities. And then the options are always there, and if we follow his direction, and sometimes even without his direction, he opens a door, and then he stands back sometimes, and he does not push us through it. Sometimes he doesn't even ask us to go through it. You don't find in God's word where he said, David, go out there and say, uh-uh. That was his own ability, his own desire of his heart. But now I want to look at the fact of observing. Just observing with a willing heart to obey him. How do you do that? We've seen the opportunities he'll present them. And we've seen the offerings that he gives us along the way to enlarge us. And he will. We can obtain it. But the question remaineth. How do we have a clean heart? If we could only have a clean heart in his eyesight, all these things be taken care of. Well, it's pretty obvious that David's already admitted the fact I've got enemies, and David knew his own self was his enemy. He said, I'll have to rely on you, God. So therefore, he asked God, create in me a clean heart. Every day of my life, I make mistakes, and so do you, and so did David. And sometimes your hands may be dirty of the things we've done along life's way. And yes, God forgives. There's no doubt about that. But you see, he rewards and compensates according to how we served him. And even though there's forgiveness, David won with all his heart to build a temple, to see it built. Can you imagine? Solomon built that temple after the pattern God gave David with the riches God gave David, but David didn't get to see it. He was on the other side. May have let him glimpse down at it, but he didn't get to enjoy it. In the long life's pathway of life, we go through and we try to take advantage of opportunities by his help. And sometimes we take advantage of those options for greater rewards and serving him. That's good. But the basic question is observing and understanding and being willing to let God use us and forgive us. Every one of us, we could take months telling about our mistakes. God forgives all those. But remember, when it comes to reward time and recompense time, you go on what we've done for him in the past. He gave him the throne, restored the throne, because he knew what he would do. But now it could go no farther. It could not go farther to build a wonderful temple. And we're so limited sometimes. The opportunities that he gives us, we don't take full advantage of it many times. And the options that he says for greater service, sometimes we're not interested in it. We're just, well, I'll read my Bible. That's my chore. But how often do we say, God, I want to serve you, and I want to enlarge my heart for you. I want to be pleasing. I want you to offer me more opportunities. And he would. They're out there. But why would he offer them to us if we haven't observed and if we haven't obeyed what he's already told us to do? He knows we're not going to do anything else. So my desire and yours should be, God, as David said, create, help me. My desire is not enough to get the job done. I want a clean heart. I want clean hands, but I'm still in the flesh. So you have to help me, Lord, overcome my flesh. And he will if we ask him. Stand this morning, your head's bound. Please come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. If you're here this morning and you have a determination to be a greater soldier, a greater testimony in this world for Christ Jesus our Lord. If you don't have that desire, you need to ask him to give you one. You can't manufacture it. There has to be something that God changes in your heart to cause you, to want you to do more. Sometimes you're content coming to church on Sunday morning, maybe not even saying that, don't even think about Wednesday night. You're serving him, gives your tithes. But see, you can do more. But you won't be given the opportunity to do more until you take advantage of the opportunity he's already given you. And if we really want to excel for God, David wanted to excel for God, but there were limitations in your life. And there are mine and there are yours. Altar's open. If you desire in your heart, you want to desire in your heart, to be a better servant for the Lord your God. He did it for the sake of his God and his country, Israel. We have a country that really needs God's people to unite. We need to, without hesitation, say, God, use me. What can I do to help America get back to you? I'm so limited. Hey, but God could open doors of opportunity if we would walk through them. That's his business. But nothing's going to happen if you don't desire it, if you don't want it, if you're not willing to make sacrifices, you're not willing to pray more. That when he wakes you up at night, if you take time to get up and go meditate, why at night? Well, that's the way he did me at nighttime. Yours may be in the middle of the day, but whenever it is, a time with God, when there's no interruptions, when you're just listening for his voice, and you're communicating with him, and you want more than anything to hear him speak to your heart, to ask him for another opportunity of service, whatever it is, altar's open. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, we have examined the thought of a heart for you. how much he would reward us, recompense us, and enlarge us if we just do as David did. Take advantage of the opportunities you present to him with a desire all along to have a clean heart. Not hold anything back, but give us all in all for you. And Father, we thank you that you sent your precious Son to this world and he gave it all. He gave his life. He held nothing back to redeem fallen man, of which we're all a part. And you've done your part. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll help us do our little part. Just strive and determine that we want to live for you. We want to serve you. We want to make a difference in this world with our neighbor, with our family in particular, with those we know and love, most of all for the kingdom of God. So many people out there that's lost, and God, I can't save them, but you can let me be an example if I will desire to be that example, so others can see Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I pray, Father, that this will be a burning question in their heart, as you have me for several months now. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. You'll take care of the rest. If I can just have your assistance and live day by day and moment to moment, observing you, observing your plan, being obedient to your plan, the opportunities of service. We thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to do our little part. Help us take full advantage of the opportunities you give us. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated just